Okay. Good morning. You think this is special? I wear this at home all the time, did I? Yeah. But it's good to be here on sacred and holy ground, Holy Humor Sunday, to not take ourselves too seriously, though we always take worship seriously. It's easy to be lighthearted on the outside, but very serious on the inside. And it's good to let our hair down or to wear a hat or whatever. So thank you for doing that, for going the extra mile. It's fun. It's fun to be here, fun to be in church, fun to be in ministry. And the reason for all that is because we know how it all turns out. We know the end of the story, don't we? And if you're not sure, you just ask, because we'll be more than happy to tell you. It turns out good. It turns out real. It's a happy ending. So we should be full of joy now so people can see that and so that they'll want some of what we have. So it's good to be here. And the weather's going to pick up, you know. It was only last week it was Easter, and yet it seems like so long ago. But by the end of the week, they say we'll be in the 70s, and so we have that to look forward to also. It is good to be here. Let's pray. Lord of laughter, open our eyes to see the absurdities of this brazen century and to confront them with good humor rather than faithless despair. Help us to smile while the wealthy worry or the politicians strut and dissemble. Give us the grace to chuckle at technological vainglory or the self-praise of the entertainment industry. When ignorance poses as dogmatic scientific wisdom or the devil's slaves, pretend to be angels of light, enable us so to laugh heartily with the faith and daring that is born of your Easter victory. Lord of laughter, when we take ourselves too seriously, laugh at us until we come to our senses. For your love's sake, amen. Peace of Christ be with you. Ho, 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 ho. And pass that peace to your neighbors.
First joke of the day, I'm late. Imagine that. She's throwing jokes about the Mad Hatter. I think we have a few Mad Hatters. I'm a happy hatter. Do you see what it says on my hat? It's your birthday. Today is my birthday. Ready? Happy birthday, dear Nellie. 25 again. Okay, at the top of your bulletin there is a memory verse. Let's repeat it together. James 4:7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Again, James 4:7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I just realized what my problem is. 1 minute. I'm a year older and 2 inches higher. Okay. Okay, there are some announcements today, and please check through them. Most of them are correct. No fun intended. But there are a couple of corrections. The Sunshiners will meet on April 15th. It says no Sunshiners on the calendar page, so please correct that if you have a Sunshiner. And then the men's work day has been changed from this coming Tuesday to Tuesday of the following week. I don't know the exact date of that. The 17th. Okay, on the 17th will be the usual men's work day. Okay, check through and see. It's like a bunch of hieroglyphics with all these voice changes here, music changes. Hey, it's Holy Humor Sunday. Did you get that? Okay. And I wonder why these people look so funny when I drove up in the parking lot today. Okay, check for any other announcements. Does anybody have anything pressing they need to announce? I guess that's it. If you have any questions. Okay, Suzanne.
So, in case you didn't catch that, we need some more prayer warriors. We have about seven people signed up to be prayer warriors, and we have this list of names of everybody who regularly attends church, and to divide them up among seven people would give them a big chunk. But so, if we can get some more people to sign up to be prayer warriors, so if you would let me or Suzanne or the office know. And with your phone number, then we'll get that list divided up. So we don't want to wait much longer. We've waited a long time now trying to get this put together. So please, you just have to be able to commit to praying for the names that we give you on a daily basis, and along with your whatever other things you pray for. So again, just to repeat there what Suzanne so eloquently said. Please do that.
Okay, any other announcements? The clipboard to sign up for all these good things is out in the narthex. It's on the table in the narthex. Okay. Okay, you're a pretty looking group. It's nice to look at them. All the hats and everything, all the colors. Let's continue our worship.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's stand and join in the call to worship in your bulletin. Blow the trumpet, play the lute and harp. Shake the tambourines, mirrors, and the pipe. Dance, we praise God.
Let the praise ring forth
from the most unlikely places and silly ways. Let the laughter be deep, for we are God's people. Now, you all know the tune to Deck the Halls, I'm sure. So our hymn of praise is to that tune, but the words are just a little bit different. Please follow along in your bulletin.
Kids, you can come on up too. What book should we read from every week? The Bible, that's right. The Bible is God's Word, and in it are some stories that need further investigation. You're a reader. What did I bring with me? Dragnet. Have you ever heard of Dragnet, the show Dragnet? Some of your parents and grandparents will remember this show. Joe Friday is the man who carried a badge. All he wants are just the facts, and he is willing to constantly pound the pavement and continually knock on doors to get answers. When called on to investigate an incident, you get to meet all kinds of people. The ones who saw what happened, or say they did. The ones who won't remember, and the ones who choose to forget. Still, some are willing to tell the truth. And that reminds me of a story from the Bible. Does that remind you of a story from the Bible? Yes? Oh, good. Does that remind any of you of a story from the Bible? Well, it goes something a little like this. The story you're about to hear is true. The names have not been changed, just the facts that are in the Bible, from the Gospels chronologically arranged. It had been a turbulent week in the city. Jerusalem was the scene of an international crime. A trial was held behind closed doors in a meeting, clandestine. Judas already agreed to betray him. Simon Peter denied knowing his name. So was Jesus about to be found innocent or guilty of the charges they would claim? The Roman governor named Pontius Pilate found no reason to finagle any fault until the crowd frightened and convinced him with a kingdom and a title Jesus could exalt. Pilate tried to use diversion with a resourceful power play that involved Herod Antipas and an offer that Barabbas receive an executionary stay. Jesus was unjustly selected to be sacrificed and suffer from this defeat. Ridiculed, scourged, and beaten, sentenced on corroborated evidence, incomplete. A strange midday darkness filled the air. It lasted from 12 noon till about 3. Was this God's manner of judgment, or was he the Messiah he claimed to be? The earth began to tremble, for it could not contain its grief. And the temple curtain had torn in two. His atoning death was sufficient, although supplemental details are still brief. He was taken down and wrapped in strips of linen with 75 pounds of aromatic perfume. Then Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus placed Jesus' lifeless body in a securely guarded tomb. But neither stone nor seal nor soldier could offer any irrefutable retort to what had been alleged by Mary Magdalene in the official preliminary missing person report. There was confirmation of seismic activity and a conspicuous rolled away stone. But who had stolen his dead body? The perpetrator remained at large, identity unknown. With new evidence contrary to prior recollection, Mary Magdalene ran off to find Peter and the beloved disciple John, while another Mary, Joanna and Salome, were told that Jesus had been resurrected, thereby all their conclusions were foregone. And at last we've reached the final verdict, as nothing but the whole truth will derive. O death, where is your victory? Our Redeemer is still alive. Pray with me. Repeat after me. There are no doubts. I know that Jesus lives. So help me, God. Amen. Thanks for coming up today, kids. I have a children's bulletin for you.
We have a special treat coming up. Since we have no choir today, you are the choir. I don't see anybody. Oh, I see one smile. Smile. It's a good thing. And if you sing good, you can wind up here. Who knows? Okay. Today we're going to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Okay, find it in your bulletin.
Thank you.
7:15 on Thursdays. We'll look forward to seeing you. Okay, our scripture reading today from the Old... No, it's not from the Old Testament. It's from the book of Acts. Chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. Now the company of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were possessors of the hands or of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And the distribution was made to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was surnamed by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of the encouragement, a Levite native of Cyprus, sold a field which belonged to him, and he brought the money and laid it at the feet of the apostles. At this time, where are we? The ushers will come forward for our tithes and God's offerings.
Heavenly Father, we indeed are a blessed, blessed people. And so, God, we thank you for this time today to gather together with our family here in Christ to worship you and to praise you and to just have fun. Thank you, God, that we know how it all turns out in the end. And so because of that, God, we give to you everything that we have. We give to you all of our resources in life. Our very lives we give to you as living sacrifices. You know what to do with it better than we do. And so, Lord, we give to you these tithes and these offerings with a cheerful and thankful heart. And we pray that you would bless it, multiply it, use it as you see fit by the power of your Holy Spirit through the ministries of this church. for the spreading of the joy of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a hurting world. Bless both gift and giver, those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Joys, joys, joys. What joys do we have we want to share?
It's my husband's 88th birthday. That's on Friday. 88
years old. 88? 88. Why? Right, we just, yeah. Okay, 88. We saw you on Facebook, and yeah, it's pretty cool. 88. Congratulations. Happy birthday. There's no calories in birthday cake, so enjoy. Other joys. Indoor plumbing. Thank you, Connie. Yes. You woke up this morning. That's right, Sandy. Yeah. Little boxer puppies. They're a joy, too. Still has his puppy breath. Yes. Just in 3 weeks, her legs have gotten so much longer. So much fun. And I know we have a lot more joys than that, but for all of our joys, we say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yep. And now for concerns, pens and pencils, everybody's homework. Jot this down somewhere and take it home with you and pray about it. We want to pray for Deuce, a 2-year-old battling leukemia. I want to pray for, there was a young woman who had a miscarriage. That bus wreck in Canada. 15, mostly young people, were killed when a bus collided with a semi-truck, tractor-trailer truck. Keep them in your prayers. We want to lift up Matt and family and John and Mike, Willie, pray for our country and our country's leaders and for our church. Continue to pray for David in Virginia. Mark, it's got a nasty cold. Pray for Mark and Bernetta. I visited Bernetta a couple days ago, and she is in RNN of Greensburg. Bernetta, 93 years old. She fell last week and cracked her pelvis and her shoulder. not severely. I don't know what that means, but so she's in for rehab. She dearly wants to come home. And then pray for Bonnie and I as we babysit my son's dog for a month. His name is Toby. He's a red-bone coonhound. He must go 80, 90 pounds. Tall. I mean, he can put his paws on my shoulder. He's just tall dog. 6 years old, but he's still rambunctious. And we got a puppy at home. Ugh. So if you want me this month, I'll be in my office all month long, 24 hours a day. Mary. Stephen and Dawn. Pray for Stephen and Dawn and our youth group. Martha and Bill. And traveling mercies for Caleb as he heads back up to Vermont this week. He's having knee surgery and needs us to watch his dog. Say Martha and Bill, Stephen and Don. John.
John and Alec.
John and Alec. Boy, that was really something, wasn't it? Route 30 just falling away like that. All the mudslides, the landslides in the Pittsburgh area. But Route 30, wow. And a lot of people losing their homes and even businesses over all these mudslides. Suzanne. Okay, Donna. Okay, pray for Donna. God knows the details for all these. Unspoken, just raise your hand. And for all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, through faith, we are connected to the power above all powers, the wisdom above all wisdoms. We are connected to you, Almighty God. We are your children called by your name, and you have promised us that whatsoever we ask in your name, according to your will be given unto us. And so, God, we join our faith one unto the other. We say thank you for our blessings, and we lift up into the light and love of your presence a young woman who had a miscarriage and is having surgery, the victims, family, friends of that bus wreck. We lift up to you John and Mike and Willie, Matt and family. We pray for our missionaries, men and women in the military, for those battling addictions and their families and friends. We lift up to you, Bernetta, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would quickly restore her health unto her. We pray for Mark and Bob and for the Ronald Lutz family, Lord, whose funeral I'll be doing tomorrow. We pray for the situation with Toby. And we ask for traveling mercies, not only for Caleb, but for everybody on the road. We pray for our country and our country's leaders. Indeed, we pray for our church. We pray for David in Virginia, for Peg, for Deuce, Martha and Bill, and Stephen and Don, and John and Alec. We pray for Donna, for all those affected by all these mudslides and the roads falling away. People who have lost their homes and businesses. We pray, Lord, for our prayer list on the back of our bulletin, all those names. We pray, Lord, for the ministries of this church, Lord. We pray that you would raise up some more prayer warriors so that we can cover people with the word of God with prayer. We pray, Lord God, that you would do a mighty work in these people's lives because we believe, God, help our unbelief. You're greater than any problem that anybody has. With you, God, all things are possible. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It doesn't matter what the world says. The chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus, and by his stripes We are healed. We have favor with God and man. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world, it is written. And so we will be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It's time for our gospel reading. Please stand, if you are able. Gospel according to John, chapter 20, beginning with verse 19. This is the word of the Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, which meant twin, one of the 12 disciples, was not with them, the disciples, when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Knock, knock. Al. That's what I'll say, yes. Al. Whoo. Ah, boy. Tough crowd. Yeah, it's just. A kindergarten teacher gave her class a show and tell assignment of bringing something to represent their religion. The first boy got in front of the class and said, "My name is Benjamin, and I am Jewish, and this is the Star of David." The second boy got in front of the class and said, "My name is Mary. I am Catholic, and this is the crucifix." The third boy got up in front of the class and said, "My name is Tommy, and I'm a Methodist, and this is a casserole." Okay. A friend was in front of me coming out of church one day, and the preacher was standing at the door, as he always is, to shake hands and to give hugs. He grabbed my friend by the hand and pulled him aside, and the pastor said to him, "You need to join the army of the Lord." And my friend replied, "Why, I'm in the army already, pastor." And the pastor said, "How come I don't see you except at Christmas and Easter?" And he whispered back, "I'm in the Secret Service." One Sunday, a pastor told his congregation that the church needed some extra money and asked the people to prayerfully consider giving a little extra in the offering plate. He said that whoever gave the most would be able to pick out 3 hymns. After the offering plates were passed, the pastor glanced at them and noticed that someone had placed a $1,000 bill in the plate. He was so excited that he immediately shared his joy with the congregation. and he said he'd like to personally thank the person who had placed that money in the plate. And there sat our little Rosie all the way in the back, shyly raised her hand. The pastor asked her to come front, and slowly this wonderful old lady made her way to the pastor. The pastor told her how wonderful it was that she gave so much, and in thanksgiving asked her to pick out 3 hymns. Her eyes brightened as she looked over the congregation, pointed to the 3 most handsome men in the building, and said, "I'll take him and him and him." Yeah. That's from a site called Clean Church Jokes. Doesn't say they're good, but it does say they're clean. You know, as a kid, I loved being scared. I really did. It was so much fun. Creepy, huh? Yeah, I loved being scared, and I loved scaring people. I mean, ever since I was a kid, I would watch all the movies about werewolves and Frankenstein and about vampires. Oh boy, vampires! I'd go to sleep with the covers pulled up around my neck, and then I would, as a teenager, I mean, I would scare myself so bad that then I would booby trap my room. And you wouldn't dare walk into my room in the morning. And you'd trip over something or step on something. It drove my mom crazy. But it was fun. And I was the kind of people, the kind of person who would hide behind the door. And when you'd walk by, boop! It bad. It would just, you know, after a couple months of being married, Bonnie said, "That's not funny. If you don't stop, I'll hurt you." And I said, okay. One time as a teenager, we grew up in Port Vue. My dad was a policeman there. He was on patrol. It was after dark. I knew that my mom and my 2 sisters were home and my little brother. So I climbed up on the porch roof and went in the bedroom window. And then I moved stuff around upstairs, and I was going, oh, yeah. And I could hear them scurrying around downstairs. And then finally they came over into the kitchen at the bottom of the steps, and they said, "We don't know who's up there, but we're going to call the police. You better get out of here." And I came down the steps laughing. They didn't think it was funny. But imagine being with your friends, your best friends. And say there's a group of you and somebody had just killed one of your buddies. Brutally killed one of your buddies. Man, I mean, like, we're talking like, you know, Jason or the, I don't know, the guy that wears the ski mask and the hockey mask and got the chainsaw, he's coming after you. So imagine you're doing that and there's a bunch of you who are hiding in this room. You've got the windows closed and the doors locked. And you're waiting for somebody to rattle the doors. You're afraid they're coming after you. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's somebody standing next to you. They weren't there just a second ago, but all of a sudden they're standing there next to you. Talking about being scared, wouldn't you jump out of your skin? It's no wonder that Jesus said to them, "Peace. Peace be with you. Don't be afraid here. Wait a minute. Look, it's me. It's me. Look at the holes in my hands, the wound in my side." See, because not only did Jesus appear to them right in their midst, even though the doors were locked, it was Jesus. They knew he just died on the cross and was buried. They knew somebody took his body. But all of a sudden, Jesus appears to them. Wow. And he didn't even have to come in the doors or the window. He just, talk about being scared. And so Jesus says, peace be with you. Takes away their fear. Not funny. They were scared, but definitely overjoyed. One summer night, my friend Mike Majusik, also grew up in Port View. We hung out together, did a lot of running around. We were a little ornery at times. We'd run all over the boroughs. We ran all over the place and rode bikes. And one night we were going back to Mike's house, and it was a summer night. It was dark, and we went up Upston Street, and we had to cut through a patch of woods a little bit bigger than this room to get to his mom and dad's house. And as we got to the edge of the woods, Mike ran up the hill into the woods ahead of me. I said, come on, Mike, you're not going to scare me. I know you're up here. And so I'm walking through the woods, you know, and the path is clearly marked. It was used a lot. And I'm kind of hesitating because I knew he was going to jump out from behind a bush or a tree. Well, I'll never forget this night because, you know, Mike didn't jump out from behind a bush or tree. He climbed up a tree, and when I passed underneath of him, he reached down and touched my head. And I stood there going like that, and I ran in place about 3 steps before I took off. Scared the life out of me. It was, I'll tell you what, I laughed and laughed afterwards, but boy, the moment he touched my head, I was scared. It was funny. Thomas wasn't buying what his fellow disciples, his best friends, were trying to tell him. They were saying, you know, listen, Thomas, Jesus was there. He's not alive. Yes, he is. We saw him, and he appeared to us behind locked doors. Just appeared out of nowhere. That, people can't do that. That doesn't happen, and I don't believe it, and I'm not going to believe it until I see the wounds in his hands and put my hand in his side, because that's where the spear cut him deeply. And a week later, the disciples, still afraid of the Jews, even after having seen Jesus, still afraid of the Jews, still locking the doors, they get together, all these disciples, with Thomas with them, and out of nowhere, Jesus does it again, appears unto them and says, peace be with you. I bet they were having a hard time getting used to his new mode of travel. And then Jesus says to Thomas, hey, here I am. Here's proof that it's me. Quit doubting and believe. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. When I tell people about my ear, they always remark about how close it was. You know, that bullet hit me in the chest first and then went through my ear. Close. Yeah, it was close. To me, the most remarkable thing is always the voice. I think the most remarkable thing about this story is the locked doors. Twice Jesus appears to them behind locked doors. He could have appeared to them in the field. He appeared to 2 disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. He could have appeared to the rest of the disciples at some other home somewhere when they were out fishing. But instead, he chose to appear to them when they were in a house, in a room, behind locked doors. And the Bible makes it real clear that the doors were locked. We need to get excited about this. I'll tell you why. Jesus' resurrection body goes way beyond the laws of nature, the laws of time and physics. It's something new altogether. In Romans chapter 6, Romans 6, verses 3 to 5. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Scriptures tell us that in the twinkling of an eye, we will be changed, and we will be made like unto Jesus' own glorious body. I read that at every funeral I do. We're going to be just like Jesus. See, we know the end of the story. We know that the laws of nature, that this world is not our home and it no longer pertains to us. We will no longer be held back by the laws of gravity and everything else. Man, things are going to be different. Jesus takes away all these doubts. The Bible makes us a promise that this is what will become of us. We'll be like Jesus. Because we've been saved. Because we've been baptized into Jesus. Because we believe in Jesus. His end becomes our end. That's the Word of God. This world is not our home. There's more to life than what meets the eye. In a small town out in the country, there was a man and woman who had been married for 60 years and never had a disagreement. And they decided to have an open house to celebrate with the community the fact that they'd been married 60 years. Now, they were well-known. They were very popular, well-liked couple. And the local newspaper decided to send a young reporter to get the story on them. And so this young reporter goes to the open house, and there's all this celebrating going on, and he works his way up onto the porch, and he goes over to the older couple sitting there, and he waits his turn, and finally he gets up and he introduces himself, and he says to them, he says, "You know, everybody says that you've been married for 60 years and you've never had a disagreement. I find that amazing. Is it true?" And the old man says, "Well, yes, sonny, it is true." And he says, "Well, what's your secret? Let me share it with our readers." And the old man says, "Well, I'll tell you." And he says, "Have a seat." And he says, "Now, when we got married," he said, "we decided to honeymoon in the Grand Canyon. And so we joined a mule team that was going over the Grand Canyon and to camp in the bottom. And so we all got on our mules on the top of the Grand Canyon." He said, "And my wife's mule stumbled," and she said, "That's once. And then we took the mules and we went over the lip of the canyon and we were going down these really steep trails. My wife's mule stumbled again," and she said, "That's twice. And we got to the bottom of the canyon, and when we were about to get off our mules, and my wife's mule stumbled again, and she said, "That's three times." And she got off her mule, pulled a gun out of her purse, and shot that mule between the eyes. And I looked at her, and I said, "Why did you do that?" And she looked at me and said, "That's once." 60 years, no arguments. That kind of explains it, you know. The followers of Jesus' lives had changed dramatically. They no longer had to be afraid. They would face all kinds of persecution. They would be executed in some very cruel ways. Torn apart by wild horses, burned to death, crucified upside down, cut in half, killed with the sword. But they weren't afraid. Jesus had taken away all their doubt and their fear. And there's nothing for us to be afraid of either. No matter what you may be going through, you don't have to live in fear. "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world." This world is not our home. Maybe you know somebody that's going through a tough time and they need to hear the good news. They don't have to be afraid anymore. Tell them about Jesus. Don't be afraid. God loves you, and so do I. If you look in your bulletin, you'll see a really cute song about "Go Tell It on the Mountain." So let's stand and sing. Now, you know that for most people, wearing these hats is unusual, but not for everybody. Some people just aren't playing with a full deck, and that's why I love her. We don't have to play with, coffee hour. Yes, coffee hour across the hall. We have refreshments for everybody, so come on over and get something to eat and drink. Birthday cake. There you go. And get a little wild and crazy. Have fun. Enjoy life, no matter what you're going through. Smile. Drive the devil crazy. How can you be so joyful? Did you simply say, because I know how it all turns out in the end? Man, that's good news. Good news for us. And somebody else needs to hear that too. So don't be afraid. Dear Heavenly Father, pour out your spirit upon us and fill us with holy boldness. Fill us with love and laughter. For we ask it all in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, Amen. Amen.